This is your Polycast for Friday, November 21st, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, reaction to the president's action on immigration. Some immigrant families in Minneapolis took in President Obama's immigration announcement with excitement and also some disappointment. The president's plan could help nearly 5 million people who are living in this country illegally avoid deportation. But the relief will go mostly to young people and parents of U.S. citizens. Many others won't qualify. Sasha Aslanian has this reaction.
At El Colegio Charter School in South Minneapolis, about 40 people filled the lunchroom to watch Obama's address.
When I took office, I committed to fixing this broken immigration system.
The crowd, many of them from a group called Navigate, a leadership development group for young immigrants, listened quietly. John Keller of the Immigrant Law Center explained the mixed feelings in the room.
When you have something that has winners and losers in it, the perception of what the president's announcing is that if you do not have a citizen child, even though you've been here 10 or 20 years, the program he just announced is not for you.
Some did get the news they'd been waiting for. 36-year-old Daniel Del Toro runs a cleaning business and has two children who are U.S. citizens.
I woke up thinking that I could be put in jail and removed from their sight at any point. I have lived in fear for far too long. Now I can imagine driving and working without having to worry about someone coming for me. Now I can imagine for once feeling safe in my own house.
Obama's executive order will allow immigrants who have lived in the U.S. illegally for more than 5 years to temporarily avoid being deported if their children are citizens or permanent residents, and if they pass background checks and pay fees. They can stay for 3 years and get work permits. Obama also expanded the program for young people brought to the U.S. as children. Elsa Membrera Flores listened to the president with her 16-year-old daughter, Jennifer Munoz, who was born in the United States. The mother wiped a tear as the president spoke. She says she's relieved for her own situation, but it comes too late for her brother.
Mi hermano, pues él fue deportado.
Her brother was deported in 2010. Immigration and Customs Enforcement deported nearly 6,000 people from the region that includes Minnesota that year. Fewer than half had criminal convictions. Deportations reached historic highs in the early years of the Obama administration. In 2011, Obama scaled back and refocused on deporting criminals and recent border crossers. So far this year, ICE has deported 1,900 people from the region. 80% had criminal convictions. Obama reiterated that priority in his speech, saying enforcement would focus on, in his words, felons, not families, criminals, not children. One Minneapolis resident objects to backing off on deportations.
His whole speech basically kind of made me angry, and I just had to take a deep breath.
Linda Hoon of Minneapolis is a member of Numbers USA, a group that seeks to limit immigration. Hoon says she's opposed to letting people stay who broke the rules in the first place. She says the president's plan rewards people who have been living here illegally for years.
I'm concerned with the honesty of all this, and I am concerned about Minnesota residents and legal immigrants perhaps maybe not getting a job when someone who came here illegally took the job. And you can't always prove that.
It's unclear how many people living in Minnesota could benefit from the executive action. Recent estimates from two groups put the number of unauthorized immigrants in Minnesota at more than 90,000. And one of those groups, the Migration Policy Institute, estimates about a third of those are the parent of at least one U.S.-born child. Sasha Aslanian, Minnesota Public Radio News, Minneapolis.
And the president's actions are creating fissures in Minnesota's congressional delegation that mirror divisions within both parties nationally. Brett Neely has that angle from Washington.
This is a fight nearly 2 years in the making. The Senate passed a bipartisan immigration bill in the spring of 2013. DFL Senator Al Franken helped craft the bill as it went through the Judiciary Committee.
I felt very good about that process and very good about the outcome of that bill. And I thought that, yes, something would get done in the House.
But immigration hardliners in the House, including outgoing Republican Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, blocked all efforts to pass any kind of immigration legislation. And conservative opposition led many of the bill's Republican supporters in the Senate to reverse themselves and oppose the bill they voted for last year. Now Bachmann and her allies want to use a must-pass government spending bill to defund Obama's immigration initiative. Such a fight could result in a government shutdown. With memories of last year's shutdown in mind, 2nd District Congressman John Klein and other House GOP leaders are warning against such a move.
But I also think it's important that we clear the table of as many things as we can here in the lame duck, and that would include providing funding for the government through the end of September.
Klein, who chairs the Education Committee, says he wants to work with the administration to rewrite the 2002 No Child Left Behind law next year. But he says he's warned Education Secretary Arne Duncan that if the administration acts on its own on immigration, all bets are off.
I think it makes it tougher for us to work on other issues.
Democrats, including 1st District Congressman Tim Walz, say Republicans aren't being sincere about cooperation, given their track record.
The well was poisoned by not bringing it forward when we waited 18 months when the Senate passed a bipartisan bill.
While many in his party are happy about Obama's move, Walz would rather let Obama give Congress one more chance rather than provoke Republicans with executive orders.
Give us just a bit of time here, see if there is going to be anything. And I know people who are listening saying they're not going to do anything. Well, we'll find that out. We've waited 18 months. We could wait a couple weeks more, see if we get it, and then go forward.
With Obama poised to go ahead with the executive order, Bachmann is using her final weeks in office to rally the conservative grassroots with some pretty strong claims about the president's intentions.
And he's looking at new voters for 2016. Even though the president says they won't be able to vote, we all know that many will, in all likelihood, actually vote.
There's no evidence that's true. The order doesn't have any path to citizenship in it. Bachmann went further.
The social costs will be profound on the U.S. taxpayer to millions of unskilled, illiterate foreign nationals coming into the United States who can't speak the English language.
When challenged by reporters about the use of the term illiterate, Bachmann offered this explanation.
The reason why I would say that is because I spent 4 days in the border and I spoke to American Hispanics on the border. That's what they told me. Those aren't Michelle Bachmann's words.
One bipartisan point of agreement is that Obama's actions are big and dramatic. Democratic Congressman Keith Ellison says presidents have often been put in this situation by Congress.
It was President Truman who issued an executive order to end discrimination in the U.S. military. The Emancipation Proclamation is an executive order. I mean, presidents have taken bold steps in the past when Congress wouldn't act.
While Ellison says Obama's actions won't be as historic as those earlier executive orders, he says for the people affected, they'll make a big difference. Brett Neely, Minnesota Public Radio News, Washington.
And that's your Polycast for this Friday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you again here next week.